receiving our brother in the Lord, Bishop Gary Oliver, to the platform this morning.
Somebody give God a good praise in here. Can you do that? Come on, come on. Praise him like you love him. Praise him like he healed you and delivered you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I am indeed glad to be here today. I know that about right now at Tabernacle of Praise, the church where I pastor over on the west side of Fort Worth, they're pretty crunk up about right now. We have been in such an amazing, amazing move of God, as I know everybody is. How many of you believe that 2014 is a really special year? There's something unique in this season, amen? One of the things that I want to say in this season, that relationship is everything. You can only go as high as your relationships go. You'll only be as good as your relationships are. You're looking at me funny. What do you mean by that? If you never, it doesn't matter what your product is. If you don't ever get a relationship with people who have money enough to buy the product, you will never make any money. So you got to be in a relationship with people who have money. Y'all ain't helping me to say nothing. To get money. Am I right about that? It's the same thing about everything. In order to have a relation, in order to have a greater walk with God, you have to get in relationship with people who have a greater walk with God than you do. Amen? If I'm going to live holy during the week, because how many of you know it's not just holy on Sunday? Come on, talk to me. It's holy every day. And if I'm going to live holy, then I got to get around people that have the audacity to call me in check. Come on, y'all. I need good friendships. I need godly men around me. I need mature men. I need godly women, praying women. That's A, not E. Y'all, listen to me. You got me? That's why I thank God for men like your pastor that I can have a relationship with and know that I'm with a man of God who is pursuing God and pursuing the things of God. How many of you really greatly appreciate? Come on, I need to hear you. How many of you appreciate the man of God that God has set in this house, Pastor Rich Martin? Come on, let's show him some love today. Come on, you can do it for a minute, because it's not always easy being a pastor. Hallelujah. We appreciate you, Pastor, and thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for all you do for this house. I do have a word from the Lord for you today, and I'm going to twist on you a little bit, though. Is that all right? I want to help you look at something in a way you have never looked at it before, I promise you. I don't know what to do with this guy. You can smile. It's all right. Somebody told me he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Y'all don't know this song, I know, but he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Somebody said, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Y'all couldn't say it. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. Hallelujah. I believe that. Well, you may be seated. I want you to grab your Bibles and go with me to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Going to read a very, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. You know, we've been seeing God do some amazing things. And this past week, a family in our church had a little baby, a grandchild that was born and had been diagnosed with dystonia. And I didn't know a lot about dystonia. And so I have some medical people in my life that I called. I called a doctor friend of mine and got some input from him. And I have a lady in the church who was not just an RN. She became an RN and then moved from just doing bedside to work her way all the way up to the vice president of Baylor Hospital. And very, very sharp, very educated. She also has a doctorate in theology. And so I was talking with them, and I said, somebody talk to me about this dystonia. What is this? And when I called Dr. Veronica, she said that dystonia was in the brain that normally happens in utero where the baby doesn't get oxygen at a certain time, and that sometimes it can also be affected by chromosome number 18. Can cause this. And dystonia causes a baby to seize up or muscle groups to seize up. It can be parallel muscle groups or it can be individual. This particular child would twist his arms and hold his little thumbs inside and just go stiff, like seizing. And 6 months old. So the doctor said the only way we know how to know for sure if our diagnosis is correct is to do an MRI on the baby, and if our diagnosis is correct, we will find the malfunction in the brain during the MRI. So I went out with the family, and it's a larger family. I went out and just sat with them on Monday, and I said, now, I got the information, and I said, because here's what I believe. Doctors do not forecast my future. Doctors only tell me how to pray with specificity. So I go to the medical root of what we're dealing with. And I said, we're going to lay hands on baby Josh and we're going to command chromosome 18. Y'all not listening to me. To be normal. And we're going to command any malfunction in his brain to disappear right now. We prayed, and can I just tell you that when they did the MRI, y'all know. They didn't find anything. Hallelujah. So I'm just telling you that I'm watching miracles happen every week. And I'm just telling you, hang on. Your miracle is coming. Stand your ground. Your miracle is coming. This is the year of the open door. Let me explain it to you like this. This is the year of the open door. The Jewish calendar, the year is 5774. We're in 2014. Both years end with a four. The four, just by design, represents the flap of a tent or a door. We have a double sign of this being the year of the door, which also indicates this is the season of double portion. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody that likes to grab hold of the spiritual and the prophetic. It is the season of open door, but it is the season of double portion coming into your life. And the open door, when the door opens, Paul said there is an effectual door of ministry that has been opened to me, but there are many adversaries. Yeah. Many adversaries. I want you to know that anytime God opens a door, you will recognize the door by the fight you're going through to go through the door. If the door opens and nobody shows up, keep on going. Come on, y'all. Don't go through that one. We like to do things that are comfortable to us. We like to do things without a fight. But I want to say to you today, stay with your purpose. Stay with your purpose. Let's read this. You're going to say, where in the world is he going? Stay with your purpose. Matthew 14. Verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. And I'm reading from New American Standard, so it may sound just a little bit different from King Jimmy. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately, somebody say immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, You of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. I want to talk to you for a minute about staying with your purpose. Somebody say amen at the reading of the word. One of the things God has been doing in me, Pastor, is he's been taking me back to common passages of Scripture and making me revisit them again. Because I think that we have so misinterpreted the Word of God sometimes till we have confused people about certain issues. And I don't know about y'all, but all my life I have heard this preached. I've heard it hooped. I've heard it tuned. I've heard it screamed. I've heard it sung with one finger in their ear. I've heard it every way you can imagine. And I've always heard that it takes faith to get out of the boat. And sometimes you just have to get out of the boat. Have y'all ever heard that? I want to work with that just a little bit today. Because in our text, this is the amazing piece to me about the text. In our text, Jesus gives a directive up front. The Bible says, this is right after the feeding of the 5,000. And the Bible says that immediately he instructed or commanded or straightway he told the disciples to go get in a boat and go to the other side. He told them, get in the boat and go to the other side. I'll say it over here because I want everybody to hear this. It's not real deep. But you got to stay with the text. He told them, get in the boat and go to the other side. So the directive that Jesus gave to the disciples was to get in the boat and stay in the boat. Oh, y'all know. Until you get to the other side. In other words, don't jump ship in the middle of a situation. It's really interesting because as soon as Jesus tells them to get in the boat, how many of you know as soon as God tells you to do something, it's like all hell breaks loose in your life. Can we be real in here today? It's like all sorts of things begin to break out in your life. And the Bible says that the boat was a long distance, but the boat was battered. And the word battered literally means tormented. Have you ever felt like that you are on an assignment for God to do something, but there were just tormentors all around you, just people that irritated you, things that irritated you, attitudes that irritated you, folks that irritated you? Stank breath that irritated you, anything just anything that just, and it's like, God, do you really have to have this person along beside me for me to do this? And God just don't answer you anything. You keep asking him if you can leave and he ain't saying nothing. Just tormented. You know, the spirits come to us through people. Oh, yeah. Even good folks sometimes. Come on, y'all. Even good folks sometimes can say some crazy things. And even off spirits can speak truth. Oh, yeah. For example, when Paul and Silas were walking through the city and the woman of divination was following them. She was a diviner. Diviners were known to be able to speak with their mouth closed, and people couldn't tell what they were speaking and how they were speaking. They would just hear words, and they were like evil. They were spooky. They were weird. But this woman could perceive things about people by a familiar spirit. So she perceived, these are great men. These are mighty men. These are men of God, men from whom the God of salvation comes. And it agitated Paul until he finally had to turn around and shut her mouth and command her to be freed from the spirit of divination. Demons know more truth sometimes than God's people know. And you have to know what is tormenting you. You have to understand what is happening. Sometimes the tormentor is just there to get you to turn around. Sometimes the tormentor is just there to aggravate you enough that you want to give up the fight. Oh, yeah. And the Bible says that the winds or the waves were battering them, and the winds were adverse. They were adversaries. In other words, the wind wasn't working with them either. Have you ever tried just doing something God called you to, and it felt like you were pulling the train up the hill all by yourself, and nobody was helping, and you've got all this stuff you're trying to pull and you're trying to do? Am I talking to anybody in here today? Have you ever just got tired of the fight? Have you ever just got tired of the weariness? Have you ever felt like, why am I doing what I'm doing? But the real issue is you have to go back to the directive where Jesus said, get in the boat and go to the other side. You got to reach your destination. Would you just touch your neighbor and tell them you got to stay with it till you reach your destination? You got to stay with it till you reach your destination. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at somebody else and tell them this is no time to quit. This is no time to quit. This is time to plant your feet and look the devil square in the eyes and let the devil know I'm here and I'm here on assignment. I'm here on purpose. I have a Holy Ghost agenda in my life, and I refuse to be defeated. Refuse to be defeated. Watch this. The Bible says that when the disciples were out there fighting, they're fighting the wind and the waves, and they're in the middle of everything. And all of a sudden, he's got the nerve to just walk out on the water like there's nothing. And they're looking at him like, oh my God. It's got to be a ghost. And the Bible says that they cried out in terror. I got the pink on. Because I'm tough enough to wear pink. The Bible says that they cried out in fear. You know, it's really an amazing thing to me. The church has to go through growth cycles. But many of us get so comfortable in church being one way that we can't see it done another way. And so we leave some place where we're tired of because we think there's no life over there. And then we come into a place like this, but we try to get this to become what that was. Am I talking to anybody in here today? Am I talking to anybody? We want to fuss with the pastor and tell, you know, we didn't do it like that. Now, we had a choir that had an A and B selection. Well, why did you leave? If you want this to be that, Why? It's amazing when we see Jesus do something in a way we've never seen him do it. Most of us don't believe it's really Jesus. Oh, come on, y'all. The disciples see Jesus walking on the water, and they said, that's really not him. That's not him. That's a ghost. That is a ghost. That I am scared to death. Do you see that thing walking on the water? It's an apparition. It's something. It's not real. It's him. It's not him. Jesus looked at them, and he said, why are you freaking out? My grandson told me the other day, I was keeping him, and I made him do something he didn't want to do, and he stopped and he said, okay, Pops, you're freaking me out. I'm like, oh, you ain't been freaked yet, buddy. You better get your little dusty tail in there and do what I told you to do. I'm going to show you a freak in a minute. Bible says the disciples, watch this, they instantly were afraid and they cried out. And Jesus said, why are y'all tripping? This is me. Now, doesn't the Bible somewhere say something about my sheep know my voice? But watch Peter, the hero, the one that we have championed for getting out of the boat. Watch him. If it is you, see, it changes the whole story now. Because all of a sudden you see Peter with doubt and confusion. If it really is you, then tell me to come out there. Well, now, first of all, if I thought he was a ghost, I wouldn't have never said that. If I didn't believe that was really Jesus, I would have never said, get me out of the boat too, with all the waves and all the wind and all the contrary and the battering and the... I'd be like, where's my life jacket? Peter says, if it is you, then tell me to come out there. What else could Jesus say? It is me. So, okay, cool. Come on. Peter jumps out of the boat, takes 2-3 steps and realizes what he's done and starts sinking. Now, don't you know that Jesus saw him sinking when he started sinking? And Jesus didn't do anything. See, here's the problem. A lot of us back God into a corner. When something begins to happen, we ask him to get us out of what we're in a way that causes him to have to get us out of it. But he never told us to get out of it. He said, get in it and go to the other side. And when we get out of it and we get out of our place, we begin to sink. We begin to go down. We begin to lose life. We begin to have fear. We begin to have anxiety. All sorts of things happen. But our pride makes us too arrogant. Oh, y'all. Most of the time to go back and repent to the ones we walked away from. Am I talking to anybody in here? Am I in the right house today? All right. It makes us too proud to go back and say, you know what, I made a mistake. I should have never asked to get out. And so as long as Peter's mouth was shut, Jesus did nothing. Jesus waited. Don't you know he can see the water rising on Peter? Peter's going down like... Jesus just stands there. He says, until the very thing that you use to get yourself in a mess, you're going to have to use that to get out of the mess. I don't know who I'm talking to in here today, but the death and life is in the power of the tongue. Y'all don't hear me. Death and life, both are in the power, not the power of death and life, are in the tongue. No. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, death has no power and life has no power until you activate it by your tongue. You have to use your mouth to say something. If you want out of the mess you're in, you have to say, Lord, save me. If you want out of the situation you're in, you have to call on him. If you need God to do something in your life, then open your mouth and tell God what you need him to do. Don't come ask the preacher to pray for you for a financial breakthrough. If you need a financial breakthrough, begin to open your mouth and do what he said do, and that is give, and it shall be given. Touch a neighbor and tell him you got to open your mouth and say something. You got to open your mouth and say something. You got to open your mouth and say something. If you ever going to get anywhere in life, you got to open your mouth and say something. You got to call those things that are not. That's how you give them life. That's how you give them life. That's how you give them life. You step out in the darkness and say, let there be light. What's this? The word tongue is literally the word yod, which in Hebrew is the word for hand. Death and life are in the hand of your mouth. I could stand in front of my closet all day long and think what clothes I wanted to put on, but those clothes stay right where they are until my hand reaches out and it takes it. Sometimes when you need something in your life to happen, you have to let your hand, oh God help me, appropriate that thing for, yeah. You got to speak life. You got to speak life. God stood there. Jesus stood there. He said, your mouth got you into this. Let your mouth get you out of this. Watch this. I'm almost through. Immediately, the Bible says that Jesus reached and saved him. And what did he do with him? What did he do with him when he got him? He didn't say, come on, hang out here with me. I'll show you how to do it, buddy. Come on, just take a look. Put your little foot. Put your little. He didn't do anything crazy like that. Immediately, Jesus got him, and the Bible says he put him right back in the boat. This is where I told you to be. What are you doing over there? I told you to be. What are you doing running around, traipsing around, going all that other churches over there? I told you to get over at Life Community. Can I be real? Why are you running around out here looking at for something somewhere else that you can't find? Because you can't find it because what you're really trying to run from is inside you anyway. So everywhere you go, you find the same problem, realizing that the problem is in you. And if I'd really get my life right with God and sit down and let a man of God teach me, then I could learn something and I would know how to walk this walk out. I would know how to live this life out. You know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling. Everybody say assembling. The assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And what's this? And then he said, and those that forsook the assembling, guess what? He said they have suffered shipwreck in their faith. Let me help you with that. I have three children. My girl is now 26. But when she was a little girl, she determined she wanted a bicycle for her birthday that year. Whatever year it was, I think she was 5. And I was like, cool, let's go get your bike, baby. So we go to Wally World. Y'all know Wally World, right? So we go to Wally World. We pick out the little bike. It's up there on that rack. I can't reach it, so I go and ask somebody, hey, we want this bike right here. She wants the little purple with the little white basket right there, the one with the white tires. And the guy says, cool, if y'all go up to the front, I'll bring it to you. We go up to the front, we stand there, we're looking around for this guy. All of a sudden, I see some guy coming through with a big box, and I'm looking over him trying to find, where's that guy coming with that bicycle? He came up to me and he said, sir, here's your bike. And I said, no, that's not the bike. That bike. He said, no, it's in the box. And I opened that box up when I got home. In the box, I had that bicycle. But guess what it said? Some assembly required. Oh, yeah. Just because you in the box doesn't mean you have assembled yourself. To assemble yourself, you have to connect with your purpose. I could have put the handlebars where the seat goes because the hole was the same dimension. I could have put the handle, the seat up where the handlebars go because the receiving part of the bike was the same dimension. But my bike would have been dysfunctional because I had not connected with my purpose in the place where God had planted. So it's not good enough. I'm trying to help somebody in here today. It's not good enough just to show up on Sunday. It's not good enough if you've got a voice to let the same singer sing all the time. It's not good enough if you've got the ability to teach children to let the same women teach. Boy, I'm talking. If God called you to teach, my question is, why are you not connected to your purpose if he told you to assemble yourself here? I'm just trying to help somebody. I'm just trying to help somebody.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.